In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, very familiar verses to those who receive Christ as their Savior. The passage says, it says, "Thou if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And verse 13 says this, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved."
That's right.
One of the things that we point out in this is that a lot of people just live for being saved. But I could tell you this, if we take salvation lightly, we will not understand the Lordship of Christ. If we are not thankful for what God has done for us, we will not understand and show the respect that God deserves. Folks, today in today's society, people just take and take and take, and they don't have any appreciation or any gratitude for what has been done for them. And that should not be in the Christian's life. We should live a life of gratitude because Christ Jesus has saved us. He saved us from eternity to hell. And it says, part of the salvation verses that we use is, if you confess with your mouth the what? The Lord Jesus. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved."
Yeah.
When we get saved, we have the ability to make God Lord of our life. He is Lord of creation. But Lord of our life is a choice that we have to make. We need a proper perspective of the Lordship of Christ. And a great perspective is found in Revelation chapter 4, verses 8 and 11. Because John is on the Isle of Patmos and he has the vision of the throne room of heaven. And we've gone through the book of Revelation. We've come to this passage several times. But if we get a vision for who God really is, how powerful He really is, how much He really loves us, and we should live a life where He is Lord of our life. And in an introductory passage tonight, it says, "And the four beasts had each of them six wings round about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, crying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." Folks, we need to get ready for heaven.
Amen.
This is what we're going to see in heaven, and we're going to chime in with the chorus. He is holy.
Amen.
He is mighty. He is God Creator. He is all those things. He is Jehovah. He's the Lord of Lords and King of Kings.
Amen.
In verse 9 it says, "And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks that sat on a throne." And that's what we need to do as Christians, folks. We need to give glory. We need to give honor and we need to give thanks. "Who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before him and sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created."
Amen.
You know, we live by the grace of God. We're saved by the grace of God. We experience His mercy by the grace of God. We have our health by the power of God. We have the ability to work from God. We need to understand that God's in control. We need to understand that no matter what happens Tuesday, God's still sovereign.
That's right.
He's still sovereign. So tonight I want to bring up 6 points. There'll be a numbering problem here later on after the second point, but just hang with me. It's all right there. So the issue is, I want to point out some things that as we get a good perspective of who Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ is, it'll make us better Christians. It'll prepare us for heaven as we're already prepared from salvation. The first thing we need to understand is that Jesus needs to be exalted as Lord. He needs to be exalted as Lord because He's exalted in power. In Acts chapter 2, verse 36, Peter is preaching at Pentecost. And in the crowd, there are people who were there at the crucifixion. And now everybody's hearing the gospel in their own language. And in verse 36, it says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know, assuredly, that God hath made the same Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ." Folks, He is Lord in power. He's the only one. He says, "I lay my life down and I pick it up again. No man taketh my life from me, but I'll do it willingly." Folks, we need to exalt Jesus as Lord because of His power. We need to exhort Jesus as Lord. He should be exalted as Lord. Lift it up high and lift it up, as it says in Isaiah chapter 6, because of His position. In Acts chapter 5, verse 31, it says, "Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a savior." We're going to the Christmas season, and eventually we'll preach on Isaiah 9. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and His name shall be" what? Wonderful, mighty, the mighty God, Counselor, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You know why? Because Jesus, the one that was in the manger, is God in the flesh, the Creator of the universe. 1 John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were created by Him." Created by Him. And folks, if we've been created by Him, we ought to give Him respect.
Yes, right.
Based on His power, based on His position. It says, "Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." If you're not thankful for anything else, you ought to be thankful that your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
And that should cause us to exalt. Someone saved your life, they should be your best friend. So Christ is exalted as Lord in power. Christ is exalted as Lord in position. Christ is exalted, should be exalted as Lord in His people. In Psalm chapter 18, verse 46, there's actually a song. "I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. I will call upon the Lord. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted." Colossians says that we're supposed to sing in our heart psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Folks, we need to exalt God all the time and His people. We just can't go on in our normal routine lives ignoring the one who saved us, ignoring the one who created us. And so God, Christ, needs to be exalted as Lord in power because He's God, in position because He's God, and also in people because He's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, is He exalted as Lord in your life? Secondly, we need to understand the Lordship of Christ because all authority or rule is given to Him. It's given to Him universally. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto him, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. If you go and you look up the meaning of the word power in the original language, it means authority. He has the right, and he's the only one that has the right to rule. If you remember Revelation, there's a scene of the book, and everybody is saying, who is worthy to open up the book? And it's the deed to the earth. And then Jesus is worthy. He said, thou art worthy to open the book. Praise God. He's exalted as Lord. All authority is given to him. In John chapter 17, verse 2, it says, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Oh, folks, the reason God did that is not only because of his love, but because of his authority. He is truth. He is righteousness. He is light. He is salvation. He's all those things and so much more. So much more. Christ should be exalted as Lord because all authority is given to him. And folks, we need to have him be the authority in our lives. So all authority is given him because it's universal. The other thing is, it's intrinsic to him. It's unilaterally. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 29, it says, for he taught them. Remember? He would go in there and, you know, I could probably kind of imagine what it was like in the temple with the scribes and Pharisees before Christ came. Blah, 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 blah. You need to do this. You need to do this. Oh, great God Jehovah, thou art. And it was all ritual and there was no life to it. And then Christ comes into the temple and he reads. And he says, God has anointed me to preach the gospel, to heal the brokenhearted, to release the prisoners, to raise the sick. He says, this day, the scripture is fulfilled in your... Can you imagine that? Could you imagine that if we're just a common worshiper coming into the temple and all of a sudden Jesus comes in the first time and says that? Oh. And then he starts teaching what the real meaning of the Old Testament was, what the promises were. And everybody said, we've never heard this before. Folks, there's people outside these doors that had never heard the gospel before. Don't assume anything. Right. Don't assume anything. He said, we've never heard a man teach like this before. Because in verse 29 here says, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the blah, 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 blah scribes. Folks, he's life. We ought to be excited for our great salvation. It ought to cause us to just yearn to be in the presence of God and to serve him and to follow him with all of our heart and to love him. You know, then Christ goes on and he does his miracles. And then they say, has anyone ever healed the blind? Raised the dead? Caused the lame to walk? And Christ himself says, he says, just believe me for the work's sake. Believe who I am just because of the works. But he came into his own. And his own received him not. Remember what they said? They rejected the lordship of Christ. We're not going to have this man rule over us. And folks, I fear today that there's a people that say they are Christians and they say, I refuse to have God rule my life. Tell me what I need to do. What I should do. Tell me that I'm doing something wrong. Folks, Christ should be exalted as Lord. Christ should be exalted as Lord. He should be Lord because of all the authority that was given to him. Here's where the error is. This is the third point. Okay? And everything is off from one right here. And because Christ has saved us, and we've confessed the what? Lord Jesus. And we've called upon the name of Lord because He's the only one. He should be exalted in our lives because of His power and His position. And that's what God expects. All authority is given Him. It's because it's universal, because He's God. And His character is authority. But the real thing is, to make Him Lord of your life, He needs to be sanctified, or the actual word means to hallow. It's the one that we find in Matthew chapter 6. He says, teach us to pray. He says, when you pray, say, Our Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. You know, there's just too many times today that we don't pay Christ the respect that He deserves. There's too many things today in today's world that we don't pay respect to those in authority. We don't pay respect to our parents' kids. And we don't respect our kids' parents. Folks, for the Lord to be sanctified or hallowed or honored in your life, it is evidence of your heart's belief. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart. But hallow the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asketh you of a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. What about the attitude? We're supposed to be meek, which is humble. We're supposed to have fear, which is not be scared, but have respect for the one who saved us. And I'll be honest with you folks. I think it's a travesty if you say, I can't share the gospel. Maybe you don't know it. Maybe you don't know it. Maybe you say you are something that you're not. You go and you look through the ministry of Christ, and you know and you see when Christ healed people what they did. Remember when the guy got his mind right? Preached it in revival. What did he do? He wanted to be with Jesus. And then he said, nope. Jesus said, nope, don't do that. He said, you just go and you just tell everybody. He began to publish. And it went beyond the city that he was living, all through Decapolis, about what God had done in his life. And folks, how can we say that God is Lord of our lives if we never tell anybody about it? Oh, we need to show what's in our heart. We're supposed to be always ready to give an answer to every man that asks you. Not just the ones that you want to talk to, but everybody. See, to be hallowed as Lord in our heart means to be its evidence of our heart belief. And then secondly, it's to be a testimony to the unbelieving. Here's an interesting verse in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 41. Uses the exact same word as hallowed or sanctified. It says, I will accept you with your sweet savor, when I bring you out from the people and gather you out of the countries wherein ye have been scattered, and I will be sanctified in you. Look at this. Before the heathen. We have a great commission. We have a great message. We have the gospel. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. And we're supposed to go out and share it and preach the gospel to what? Every creature. See, what's happening today in today's church is that God is not sanctified in our lives. What's happening in our modern churches today is God is not hallowed in our belief. And so we don't have the unction from on high to share it with anybody. And how will they know except they hear. And how can they hear without a preacher? Well, I don't have the gift to preach. I don't care. You may not be gifted as a preacher, but we're supposed to preach the gospel to every creature. It is a commandment. And if you're not sharing the gospel of God, you're out of God's will. He's not hallowed in your life. You're not exalting Him, because if you were exalting Him, you would do this. He doesn't have all authority in your life, because if He gave all authority, you would do this. You would follow Him. Fourthly, He needs to be owned as Lord in our lives. As Lord in our lives. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, the Bible says this. It says, "Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Oh, there's that word again, Lord. There's that also that other word, all. Okay? Okay? "Giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." See, there's several things that we need to understand here in this verse. See, He needs to be owned as Lord in our life in totality. The verse says here what? Whatsoever. Whatsoever. That means everything we do. Now the implication here is we would do godly things. Whatsoever we do will be in accordance with the will and the word of God. We know that's not the case. Get that fixed tonight. So, if He's owned as Lord in your life, and He's the Lord of your life, He needs to be Lord of your life in totality. He needs to be Lord of your life in trust. In Psalm chapter 9, verse 10, it says, "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." Do you trust in God for everything? For whatsoever ye do. Folks, to be a Christian is to be radical. We have too much political correctness. Think about the early church, folks. 3,000 got saved by preaching. 5,000 got saved because a lame man who was lame from his birth stood up and then walked into the temple praising God, and everybody turned around. We've never seen this before, and they get saved. Folks, we're saved. We're bought with a price. We're changed. That's a great salvation, is how great a change our life is. Will put their trust in thee. So he needs to be owned as Lord in this life in totality. He needs to be owned as Lord in our life, in our trust. He needs to be owned in our life as thankfulness. Now get back to this point. You don't respect people that you're not thankful for. You don't respect what they say. You don't respect what they do. You don't acknowledge it, and you're not grateful. And folks, that leads to bitterness. And that leads to failure. In Ephesians 5:20, it says, "Giving thanks always for all things." Now, you know, this issue about being sold out to God, I hope you're seeing this. I really do. It's always and all and evermore and without stopping and without ceasing and all these things all the time. This is what's expected. Christ gave His all for us. Amen. We should give our all for Him. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, is He exalted as Lord in your life? Is He exalted by you giving authority in your life to Him? Is He exalted by being sanctified or hallowed in your life? Is He exalted as Lord by being owned in your life? And then as a church, folks, he needs to be exalted. Hopefully, if everyone is individually exalting God and lifting him up, and he's Lord of each of us individually, he will be Lord of the church. But you know, unfortunately, that's not the case. That's not the case. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37, Paul's trying to put the church in order, because their services had gone nuts. And the reason it had gone nuts is because some people thought that I had to have the tongue thing, and I had to be showing off. And what was happening in that church, the carnal church, is that people were showing off. And then one person speaking, well, I got to speak in tongues too, and I got to do this. And it was turning into confusion. And then I have a word of prophecy. No, I have a word of prophecy. And everybody's getting, I have a word of prophecy. It was chaos. And Paul said, wait a second. He says, if the unsaved and the unlearned come in here and they see all this stuff, they're going to go, what is wrong with you all?
You're crazy.
And they would never accept the gospel. And so later on here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37, it says, if any man think himself to be a prophet, or spiritual, folks, that should be all of us. By speaking the word, we're being prophets. By following God and being in his will and following his word, we are spiritual. Hey, we're supposed to be restoring one another. Ye who are spiritual, restore such a one the spirit of what? Meekness. Let what? Him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Folks, Paul says, let everything be done decently and in order. There is no confusion, because God is not the author of confusion.
Amen.
Not the author of confusion. See, if he's acknowledged as Lord in the church, it means that we all need to know thoroughly. That's what acknowledge means here. It means to know thoroughly. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 6, a verse that we've used frequently, it says, we are of God. If you are of God, show it. If you are of God, know it. If you are of God, say it. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. It should be, well, this is what I think. It's thus saith the Lord, and nothing more. We need to get back to fundamentals of faith. The word of God. The power of God. The lordship of Christ. These are things that we should do. See, he should be acknowledged as Lord in the church. We need to know him thoroughly. He needs to be acknowledged as Lord in the church is that we need to know collectively. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 3 and 6, it says this, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know, Paul starts out the letter to the Corinthians, the 1 Corinthians, says, I hear that there's divisions among you, and I absolutely know it for a fact. He says, because you're doing this, and doing this, doing this, doing this. And then Paul systematically says, these are all the things you're doing wrong. But you know, every church can have that problem. But every church can overcome the problem through Christ. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the what? Bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And that's not speaking in tongues. It's being baptized by immersion because you're saved. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Folks, Jesus is Lord of this church. He is the authority. He is the authority. And we need to follow him. So he needs to be, fifthly, he needs to be acknowledged as Lord of church. And lastly, he needs to be honored as Lord by all. He needs to be honored as Lord by all. Just because of the existence of God. By the existence of God. In Romans chapter 4, it says here in Philippians chapter 2, verse 10, it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. See, this is going to happen. You can either do it willingly, or you're going to be forced to acknowledge it. You say, I don't believe in God. You can go live in your life that way, but I guarantee you the split second after you die, you're going to find out there is one. You can say that there is no hell, and I guarantee you the moment you go into hell, you're going to figure out there is, and there's no escape. And folks, I would rather stand before God covered by the blood of Christ.
Amen.
See, he needs to be honored by Lord, by all, by the existence of God. In Romans chapter 14, verse 11, it says, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." You know, we serve a living Savior. He's in the world today. Then why do we act as if we're dead? If he's alive, he says, as I live. He's not God of the dead, but God of the living. The Jews couldn't get past that problem. It blew their mind because they were going to have to give up everything they knew to make him Lord. And he was Lord. He was God in the flesh. He's to be honored by God just because of his existence. He needs to be honored by God because he exclaims it. By the exclamation of God. In Isaiah chapter 45 verse 23 it says, I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Folks, is he exalted as Lord in your life? Does he have the authority in your life? Is he hallowed in your life? Is he owned as Lord in your life? And in your life and in the church's existence, is he acknowledged as Lord? See, is Christ Lord in your life? There's two fundamental facts here. The first one is this. He cannot be Lord of your life until he's your Savior. And if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you do not know that you have eternity in him and that you receive the free gift of salvation, you need to get it tonight.
Right.
Amen. There may not be another chance. And then the second thing is, he's not Lord until you make him master of your life. See, Christ says this. He says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? What do you need to do tonight, Christian, to make him Lord of your life? What do we need to do tonight, church, to acknowledge him as Lord of all? It's a choice we need to make. Don't leave here tonight without making that choice. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask you with this time of invitation. Father, just help us, Lord, to make you Lord in all that we do. Help us to reflect on you, Lord, and show us what we need to change in our lives. And we ask these things in your Son's name tonight. Amen. I'm going to have the instruments play again. No more singing. I want you all to bow your heads and reflect on God as Lord. And ask yourself, is there anything in my life that I need to give up tonight to make Him total Lord of my life? Do I need to be saved? The altars are open.